Hello out there, and welcome to Shannon and Craig's. So, how was your weekend? I'm here with a little title disclaimer here before we get this rolling. When we started recording the podcast, our original title was simply, How Was Your Weekend? And in the process of recording and getting this all together, someone came out with a podcast by that title, so we've slightly changed ours and simply don't have the editing skills to replace the title in the recordings that we've done. So now you know that, and here we go. Shannon and Craig here with How Was Your Weekend? A podcast in search of an interesting answer to the world's most boring question. So what are we up to this weekend?
Arm wrestling. We have an interesting one today that neither one of us, Shannon and I, didn't know anything about. So this one is all Shannon on the background.
Yes. Here is how our first adventure was inspired. I was driving to work, listening to my local NPR station, getting my smarts on, when talk of the local campaign trail came on, and I learned that one of the local politicians had visited an arm wrestling competition over the weekend to campaign.
Yeah, that was interesting to me in a whole lot of ways. So I didn't know anything like this was happening. And actually, we missed an event earlier on in November that we didn't get a chance to go to around Thanksgiving. But we actually have an opportunity to go back up to Rutland, Vermont, where there's another championships going on.
We have been keeping our eye out for an arm wrestling championship for weeks now, and finally we hit the jackpot.
Yeah, absolutely. We're actually down in Brattleboro, so we're not too far away from Rutland, so it'll be a little bit of a trip, but still having the opportunity to get up there and see such a thing, it's going to be a little bit crazy. And actually, Shannon told me a little bit of information about it today as we were prepping for this. In the venue, it's actually going to be in.
It's going to take place in a bar, or what also is known as Rutland's hottest nightclub. I feel those are probably one and the same.
That's not real.
That is real.
That's great. That's
based on a little bit of Google searching I did on the venue.
Wow. Yeah, so in my head, I was thinking that it was going to be like on stage in an auditorium or in a cafeteria or something like that, but I did not anticipate it to be in a bar. But during the research, I actually saw pictures of another arm wrestling event, and it was in a bar, and it looked like mayhem, and it looked like a lot of fun. And as a 5'6" kid, I don't think I should be there, nor do I think you should be there with me defending you. But it's gonna be interesting. So
we will have the smallest arms there.
Yeah,
is one prediction that I have.
Absolutely. So what Shannon and I do when we look up topics and events and figure out how that goes, I suppose. We take only 10 minutes of research. We really want to step into this completely new without knowing too much, but have a little bit of an idea about what's going on. And right off the bat, I knew a couple things about arm wrestling, which actually I was proven wrong by.
Debunkification?
I've been debunked, but I don't know if you remember what that was about. The only sports in the world that were right-handed.
Yes, you made a claim that all arm wrestling was right-handed only.
Right, that and polo. I felt like somewhere along the line of my life that those were the only two things that were done right-handed. And in research, and with Shannon telling me, like, you're completely wrong. So I'm astounded by that. So that was one of the things that I thought, and I was immediately proven incorrect about. But let's go into like stuff that we researched and sort of like ideas that we had kind of had. What'd you get?
I'm going to start with something about the history, which is that allegedly arm wrestling matches, this is from armwrestlingworld.com.
Oh, good plug.
Began in Petaluma, California in 1952 in a saloon. What I found more interesting is that in 1969, arm wrestling got picked up as a covered sport by the show The Wide World of Sports, and the championships were broadcast from 1969 to 1984, and this Wide World of Sports show was the thing back in the day, and I am just upset that I missed out on it. Because it sounds like it was a glorious show.
So I pretty much found the same information that you did. But the first thing I was really astounded by, one, is that it's a new sport. Because guys have been jerks for a long time. So I feel like, ooh, let's arm wrestle is like one of the things that's always been around since like forever. So the fact that it was like the 1950s, 60s, what was it?
1952.
1950.
Competitive arm wrestling.
That blew my mind. I was also happy to notice that it started in a bar. And the fact that we're going back to the bar, it's like bringing it back to its roots. So I was excited about that.
You know, it got too big, I guess, back in 1969 to 84. I'm glad it's come back home to the bars where it belongs.
Mm. Well, one of the things I thought was also interesting about this is that one of the things that I did know about arm wrestling, or at least I thought I knew, and I've sort of been shrouding this from Shannon for the last couple weeks, is that there was a movie with Sylvester Stallone called Over the Top.
The movie came up in my research.
Right.
And the way that I found it is somewhat ridiculous. May I first interject, just for the purpose of varying our vocabulary? I found that arm wrestling can also be referred to as wrist wrestling.
Wow.
Or arm sports, which is my personal favorite. So feel free to sprinkle that new terminology in.
Okay, I'm gonna throw one out. I also found pullers as being what arm wrestlers are called.
Oh.
So pullers, arm sports, and wrist wrestling sounds like my weekends. Keep going with that.
So you brought up this movie Over the Top.
Over the Top.
So my research rabbit hole led me to information about the regulation table used in an arm sporting match, and so I saw a diagram of what this arm wrestling regulation table needed to look like, and of course thought, how much could I get one of those for? And went on a little Google shopping trip. I found no human-sized arm wrestling tables, but I did find an over-the-top arm wrestling table, action figure sized, for $179.49 on eBay.
That's amazing.
That's unbelievable. So I had to know what this movie was all about.
And I spent, like I said, we get 10 minutes. I spent about 6 minutes on Over the Top. Like, just like, because it was the one thing I knew. I was born in 1980. I was 4 years old at the time. So I totally knew about one, Wild World of Sports. I was into that, got it, and then it was like reruns till I was a little bit older. So I was able to see that. But also, Over the Top was something that I knew, because as 6, 7, 8 year olds on the playground, it was like, oh, then he broke his arm. Which is true, like people break arms.
So you're saying you would take turns being Lincoln Hawk?
Oh, wow. Nice job. But yeah, so
portrayed by Sly Stallone.
Do you also have the plot written down?
I took a couple of notes on the plot, which I would love to share. I only really scratched the surface of Over the Top because I ran out of time. 10 minutes goes by really fast when you're researching a particularly fascinating topic. Here's what I've got, my shorthand synopsis. First of all, it is rated 5.6 out of 10 on IMDb.
Whatever that is.
Tough trucker Lincoln Hawk is winning back his son through triumph at an arm wrestling championship.
Wow.
And I have one highlight from a review. Sly acts a bit uninterested in some parts of this film.
No.
So how does that compare to your memory of Over the Top?
Well, that was, what, 30 years ago? Probably shouldn't have been watching that movie anyway, so I blame my parents. And probably most of it was secondhand, thirdhand, from just being on the playground. I also found the word alienated son. Sly, the truck driver, was trying to win back his alienated son. there was some problems there. So I thought that was really great.
Can I ask if you were to rate the movie out of 10, what rating you would give it?
I couldn't do it. I don't know. It's been so long. I'll have to go revisit it.
I was thinking watching this film is obviously going on our list of things to do after we've gone.
Absolutely. Well, the cover art
to the state championship.
To the movie was great. It was very 80s poster movie. It was awesome. It was great.
I'm looking forward to checking it out.
Yeah, so that was the one thing that I spent some time on, was sort of like looking at that movie and sort of seeing what happened to it. But
did you find anything about the tables?
Nothing about the tables. The only thing I ran across is that now there's like a laser guide on the opposite ends of the table to keep your wrists in line so they actually go, you know, straight up and down.
Do you think they're going to have that fancy of a table?
At a championship, I can only imagine.
A state championship, I suppose.
Yeah. At Rutland's finest nightclub. So, that's the only thing that I saw. So I was sort of interested in the fact that you were looking at tables. Well, but they have, like, what, foam mats that your elbow's supposed to go in?
Let me tell you about these tables, my friend.
All right.
There are two types. There's a stand-up table and a sit-down table, which have regulation heights, and if it is a sit-down table, there is a regulation seat height. On top of the table, there are elbow pads. There appears to be a safety pad for your hand to get slammed on if you lose the arm wrestling match. And there are pegs, which were a mystery to me, but I can only guess you grip the peg with your non-wrestling hand for stability, or I don't know if that would give you additional strength or leverage of some kind, or it's a mystery peg, I guess. We'll find out what it's all about this weekend. And most of the ones that I saw pictures of seem to have the elbow pad angled for righties, which actually leads me to a question. When did ambidextrous arm wrestling start? Has it always been a thing? Or were you right at one point in time and they let lefties in the game recently?
Right. Something in my mind makes me go back to Over the Top again, because again, it sort of developed. I think there was a part where Sylvester Stallone like hurt his arm, and I think he had to use his offhand. And that's maybe how he wins. Like, that was like his overcoming. Like, he still had to use his bad arm. But again, we'll look into that. I don't know.
We shall see.
We'll figure it out.
Since I just brought up a question, should we move on to questions we might have going into the Vermont State Arm Wrestling Championship?
No, I guess I got some stuff.
Oh, you have more stuff.
I got more stuff.
You have something beyond Over the Top.
Something beyond Over the Top. Oh. I went really quickly. So there's weight. There's weight classes, like in boxing. So I don't know if you ran across that information as well.
I did when I was researching the event.
Oh, okay. So there's weight classes that you have to actually, there's a weigh-in that happens at the beginning, so I'm anticipating a weigh-in of some sort.
I find that somewhat shocking. I suppose it makes sense. It's like any other type of wrestling, only not, because you're only using your arm.
Right.
Wouldn't it be circumference of arm muscle more so than weight?
Yeah, that would make sense, but I suppose it's exponential. The bigger you are, the more you weigh, the bigger your arms are. Although
it remains to be seen.
I do, yeah. We'll figure that out. So yeah, so like the highest is like, it's a super heavyweight is the most, and that's over 226 pounds if you're a man. If you're going to be doing this and you're a female, it's 176 pounds. So I am 10 pounds away from disguising myself and losing in the women's super heavyweight division, because I'd be 176 and it's nothing to brag about, but still I can go in there and do it and maybe pull it off. So that's one thing that I found. I also found the three rules. Did you find three rules?
I did not.
So there are three rules. I only really
I thought as long as you were at a regulation table, right, anything goes.
No, so there's a couple rules. I think I have two of the three. The third one, I was just moving on with my time. So elbows and arms, like thumbs have to be locked, and hands must go straight up and straight down. You're going to win right now, and we might knock over the knife. Yeah, so something like this. Grab straight wrists. That's how you do it. And you have to go vertical. And this is where the the laser beam comes in. So you have to make sure it's on the back of your hand and your opponent's hand. If you turn your wrist, like everybody was cheating back in school, in elementary school.
Oh, yeah.
If you turn your wrist and you sort of pull it towards you, you won't be able to bring the hand down.
It's the only way to win.
It's the only way to win, right? So there's a rule about that. So you can't cock your wrist a little bit and sort of pull to you just using your bicep to pull it into your body. It has to be straight down. The other rule, and this is probably the most gruesome, and again, over the top comes back into play, is that if you are losing, if you're on the losing end of this, your shoulder has to be parallel with your hand going down. And the reason for that...
I have to reenact every rule that Craig is telling me.
You got to take that pen out of your hand. Let's do this. So if I'm losing, so say you're beating me, so you're going to try to pin my arm. Now my shoulder, if you guys can see me, my hand is almost on the table. My shoulder is way out front. If this happens, what happens is that my arm can snap up here on the humerus because it's been twisted. So I actually have to follow my arm with my shoulder, so my hand and my shoulder have to be in the same spot. Otherwise, I risk a spiral break in my humerus.
That's a rule.
That's a rule.
That's on you as the person who's getting beaten and not on me as the one.
No, because sometimes that'll happen really quickly. Like someone gets an extra push and it'll do it. But you are supposed to do your best to keep your shoulder at the same spot as.
So I don't have to stop my winning to check and allow you to align.
If you have a spiral break from all that force, then that's just what happens.
That came pretty close to happening to you. I'm sorry.
You know, it hurt. I suggest anybody out there who's doing that, just ask somebody to arm wrestle and get almost pinned with your shoulder forward. It's pretty painful. And just to go into what's next, I found two federations, two people who are like oversee this. The United States Arm Wrestling Federation, the USAF, and then the World Arm Wrestling League, and
is it the WAL? Do they go by that?
It is. It's the WAL.
Acronym that grants legitimacy to an organization.
No, I get it. Because I originally actually wanted to write it down WAWL for arm wrestling, but then there's like words involved.
Oh, it's one word. Yeah, arm wrestling.
That's true. And these are things I should know, but I noticed that they're also trying to push this into the Olympics. And one of the things holding it back is the popularity. So maybe this is the start of it. And although Worldwide of Sports ended in 1984 doing the championships, and Over the Top was out in 1987.
That's when arm wrestling was really in its prime.
Maybe 2016 is a new beginning. I said we get into research.
Let's get this started. Bring back arm wrestling. Arm wrestling this weekend. I first wanted to share something. I don't want to call it a disappointment. I just want to call it an expectation that wasn't met. On researching the event, I went to one of the organization's website, and they portrayed images of arm wrestling championships as though they were MMA type of competitions in a huge stadium-like environment. I believe there were chain link fencing, perhaps as decor, very intense people, laser light show, and I thought, that was the type of environment we would be seeing this arm wrestling championship in. And as you know, we've already discovered it's at a bar or the hottest nightclub in Rutland, Vermont. So that's just something different than what I was expecting based on my initial research of the event.
I'm really happy that you've never seen Over the Top. Because your expectations of that are just going to be fantastic after this. Or before it. We should figure that out.
Whether or not to watch
it. You watch it before or after. Because it might bring up some pretty good interview questions for folks.
That is true.
Well, that's something we can talk about later. So expectations and wonderings. Do you have anything else for that? I have a few, but if you want to keep going.
I have a hope. Are you ready to talk about hopes?
Sure, yeah. Go for it.
So, because you brought up Over the Top, after reading the synopsis, I thought to myself, I really hope we find our own Lincoln Hawk story. Doesn't have to be a tough trucker, doesn't have to be an alienated son, but I want the human element.
Great. I'm going to put down on my list of things to hope for is I'm going to want to look for the equivalent of a Lincoln Hawk name, right? Because that's a pretty badass name. So if there is...
Correct.
I don't know how I can even like come up with something right now. I'm not that creative. But if there is a Lincoln Hawk out there that we're going to find...
I think we just realized who our coworker named her son after. It's so obvious now.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, but I just... I had an important realization.
We'll have to ask her. We'll have to corner her.
She's earned a lot of respect from me right here, right now.
So I'm gonna look for a good name. What about you? You got any other
Great.
Hopes?
My hope is that they start selling beer at 9 a.m. when the weigh-ins begin.
Yeah.
It's also one of my fears. It's a hope and a fear, all rolled into one.
That'll be interesting for me. I will certainly join you on a couple of those. It might be a long day, but as the driver, we're gonna have to make sure that we get home safely and survive a bar fight if we need to. So we should probably study up on bar fights.
I hope neither of us challenges a professional to an arm wrestling match.
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
That's way.
That is one of my hopes. Like, I just want to be like, hey, let's go an arm wrestle. And they're going to break my arm in a spiral fracture.
I hope that you will bring your health insurance card.
Absolutely.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Other hopes.
On a larger level... popularizing arm sports and wrist wrestling to make it an Olympic event.
Yeah.
We need some of that.
Maybe we need to contact the IOC and say, look, this is a huge thing that's happened in central Vermont and probably worldwide. Get Sly as an ambassador and he can sort of like pitch the whole thing.
We can ask them, what do we need to do?
Yeah, what do we need to do beyond making a podcast? I have a couple of expectations, although I did, when I was looking at some of the pictures, my initial thought, and maybe I'm wrong on this, and maybe the internet has failed me, which I doubt, in my brain, I pictured dudes and ladies with, like, ginormous one arms.
I remember like, you telling me
just,
about
like,
that.
Freakishly large arms and like all they do is curls. Like they're just doing curls and they're like sort of like working on the rotator cuff.
Like one Popeye arm and one olive oil.
Like it, yeah, absolutely. Okay. That freakishly different as well. Like they're not looking to do anything else but to work on that one arm. That's what I'm looking for. So I'm going to be looking at arm sizes, differential. Maybe I'll bring a tape measure.
Collect some data.
Right. So I'm going to look for arm size and, I'm hoping to have a good time. I'm curious to see what the prize amount is. Did you find a prize amount?
I don't know what the prize is. Another question I had, let's put a couple guesses out there. How many people will be competing to become state champion of Vermont in arm wrestling? Number of men, number of women. Just take a guess.
Less than 10 women. I'm going to say 8.
8 women.
8 women. Vermont, we're under 1 million population-wise.
I just moved to the area.
Okay. I'm going to say less than 20. Yeah, I'm going to say like upwards of 18, but I'm going to say it's no more than 20.
18 to 20.
18 to 20.
Now I'm wondering what happens if there are an odd number of participants. I guess that's where you come in. Wild card.
That's right, wild card. We got a guy in the corner who said he's willing to do stuff. But I did notice the winner in Las Vegas this past year, the arm wrestling championships, pulled in a whopping, I don't know if you've looked at my notes, do you know how much money they earned for winning?
Was it in Vegas?
In Vegas, baby.
World or national?
You know, I'm not sure right now, but I think it was national. Either way, you go to nationals, you go to Vegas, you hit the clubs, you do things you're not particularly proud of. You go, you win the arm wrestling championships, you walk away with...
$50,000.
That was pretty not close. $2,000 was the prize that I saw that they walked away with.
$2,000?
$2,000.
Do they have sponsors? Are they paying their expenses?
I'll source it. Maybe that'll be our follow-up. Be like, hey, this is what I got wrong. Because maybe they give $2,000 away in Rutland. Maybe it's a free round. I'm not really quite sure. So prizes.
Maybe it's a t-shirt.
I love t-shirt. With no sleeves. Why would you cover them up? Anyways, that's our pre-arm wrestling federation championships up in Rutland.
Our pre-search.
I love that. Let's coin that.
I think I might kind of hate it, but to be discussed later.
Yes. So there we go. This weekend we're going to go and up there and observe. Maybe talk to a couple people, drink a couple beers. And we'll report back later on this and see how to go.
Later, folks.
How was your weekend? And guess what? We are back from our weekend of arm wrestling up in Rutland, Vermont. And Shannon, I gotta ask you, how was your weekend?
I cannot wipe the smile off my face because it was the most stellar weekend ever. Road trip to the middle of Vermont and learning about the coolest new sport.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not new, but new to us.
New to us. And I you know, I got to say that I agree with Shannon here. I had a really good time. I've been thinking about it. I've actually been challenging people to arm wrestling ever since, now that I got a little bit of experience on the table pulling. And, yeah, it was great. And, you know, I can't wait to get into it and tell everybody what we kind of learned. But I guess I'll let you take it away for now.
All right. Where to begin? I will admit that I was really nervous walking into the local because it is your standard dive bar on a main street in a small town in Vermont. And you couldn't see inside. The door was completely solid, and I had no idea what to expect when we opened the door, which made it a very dramatic entry in my mind.
Right. I mean, you didn't even enter. Shannon actually ran ahead. It was about like an hour and a half trip, and she ran ahead. She had to use the bathroom, but refused, despite her sprinting through the streets, refused to enter until I walked in with her. That's how dramatic it had to be. And as I walked in, there were arm wrestling folk there, and they were ready to go.
There were few enough folk that once we walked inside, I did not feel intimidated anymore. I knew we were going to be okay, and I also knew almost immediately that we were the only civilian folk. We were the only arm wrestling outsiders, for sure.
Yeah, there was a moment in time as they sort of go through, you like learn techniques, and somebody teaches you, like people who are just watching, spectators, kind of like the rules of it. And as we walked in, they were into this, and they said, anybody else want to sign up? And they looked directly at both of us, and you can almost hear the record scratch. And I was like, I lift 20-pound weights. Like, this is not happening for anybody here. So, yeah, I remember that quite well. But
it took one look around to know that neither of us should be signing up to do any competing against anyone in that room.
Right. So, yeah, it was great. But one of the things, even before we left, we actually talked about what we were going to wear. Because we were really unsure about how we should show up to an arm wrestling event in Rutland.
Right. It was a long and lengthy discussion.
Right. Which I wore a cardigan and a button-down and some khakis, which is my standard everyday wear professionally.
It was very all-American.
Yeah. I did not belong there.
In a J. Crew kind of way.
Thank you.
Whereas
I appreciate that.
My initial thought had been to go all-American in the cut-off t-shirt, eagle, American flag kind of way, but I ended up just going with jeans, t-shirt, boots, standard uniform for me, pretty much.
Just hangout gear.
Yes.
Hangout gear. All right. Well, you know, we did have a good time. We actually got on the table and we learned some things, but let's really talk about what we saw there. I mean, there was two competitions going on. There was a women's class and a men's class.
Can I talk about the very intro first? As someone who hasn't seen Over the Top and therefore was really coming in completely blind, I just want to start out with how, number one, I thought it was really helpful that they started out with going over the rules so that we had an idea about what to expect and we were somewhat informed as to what could be happening. What was the guy's name? Oh, Bill Sinks, who...
World champion.
Is a world champion arm wrestler, was... You would call him one of the MCs, but he was in charge of the intro and going over the rules. The most interesting rules or relevant rules that I felt I needed to know were there are fouls that can happen in all different ways, and essentially if you foul three times, you automatically lose the match. So that's pretty important. And number two, after your first foul, the most common foul we saw was just pulling your hand out of the other person's grip.
Or slipping out. We yes. did talk about, like, maybe it was a strategy, but it was kind of tough. But yeah, so hand coming out from the other hand.
If the hands come apart, even on the first foul, they take out a strap and tie your hands together.
You do not leave.
Which I had no idea was a thing.
Oh, it's a thing. Bam.
Was it in Over the Top?
You're strapped in. I'm pretty sure it was in Over the Top. Like, it's just, yeah. You, hand-to-hand strap is just what you do not leave. And what's really interesting about the strap part is that when people win, you have to, like, get de-strapped. So even if, like, you don't like the person across from you or you just beat them, whatever it is, you automatically have to show sportsmanship because you have to work together to get out of the strap. Which was really made for some pretty awkward moments. And most of these people knew each other, but still, I was like, ooh.
We saw it happen a couple of times, and I was wondering why the victor wasn't raising their arms right. triumphantly and then realized they are tied together.
Right.
So the celebration has to be a little delayed while the referee unties your hands.
Right. Yeah, and you know, seeing the table and getting the rules down and the fouls down from Sinks there, I noticed a couple things that I got wrong in the first time. Like, there was no laser arm side thing. There was no lasers. It was very kind of low-key. These tables were kind of just put together, not crudely, but there was definitely elbow pads that could be switched from left to right just by picking them up and dropping them in. And on both sides, there was essentially a rope line and two foam posts holding it up. And to win, you either had to have your opponent have touch that post or go below that or get their wrist below that rope line. And there was two judges for that.
Oh, one more thing about the table. The pegs. Remember the mystery pegs? Why are there these pegs? A rule is you have to have your non-wrestling hand on the peg. And different people put their hands on the peg in different ways. Some are gripping onto it for dear life. Some are barely resting a hand over it. There are different ways you can grip the peg, but you must be touching it.
Yeah.
Was another important rule that I did not know about.
Peg usage. Wild.
So, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but should we get back to the...
it's fine. No, I really kind of forgot all about that. But yeah, so there was two classes. There was, you know, the women's and the men's, left and right, which, you know, as we found out the first time, that there is left-handed competition and right-handed competition, and they go pretty, these matches go pretty quickly. It's not, these things don't last very long. Some seconds, if they got to 30 seconds, you know, I was standing up clapping in the bar and shouting at them like, woo, all right.
I think 30 seconds was probably the max.
Yeah, but it was intense, you know, the whole time. And they really, you know, this, I guess from what they were saying, the people at the World Arm Wrestling League, the Wall, which is what these folks were from, said that this was a relatively small event compared to what's usual. I mean, there was not very many competitors where they get usually up to like 100.
There were three female competitors only. Then in men's, there were different weight all three women were in the same weight class. And then in the men's competition, maybe there were 8 men, but in different weight classes. So within each weight class, there wasn't necessarily more than 2 or 3 people.
Yeah.
But some strong people were representing.
Yeah, that was another impression that I got. I was like, I definitely walked into the wrong place because I am not strong, and clearly all these people are strong.
Very strong, and their arms are the same sizes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah, I guess there's a lot of things that I got wrong here.
Was that a spoiler?
That was a spoiler, yeah. Because most people actually arm wrestled left and right. So they actually did the right-handed side in their weight class, and then they switched to the left, which was nice, which gave these people breaks. Otherwise, they would have to go back-to-back a lot. But it gave them a little bit of time.
I could not believe how exhausted people looked after watching the first match, which was 2 females left-hand arm wrestling. The first thing that struck me was the thought that I was certain someone's wrist was going to snap by the way their wrists were bending. I could not believe that the human hand and wrist can be bent in that way without snapping. And secondly, the amount of complete physical exertion it takes to arm wrestle, I had no concept of. But both women were shaking after one arm wrestling match of 15 to 20 seconds. It is a full body workout.
Yeah, if you've never done this, and clearly we had no experience doing this beforehand, Shannon and I got on the table later. But yeah, challenge somebody to a really good arm wrestling match, and you will feel it. It hurt my abs. Shannon the next day sent me a text that, you know, I'm still hurting. And we arm wrestled twice, on the right and our left. And yeah, it's a full body workout, and it's not just your arms, not just your shoulders, it's not the wrist. It's
even my hip was bruised, if you can imagine that. So it is intense.
Yeah. But there's strategy to it, and there's ways to be successful at it. It's kind of like rock, paper, scissors in some sort of way. You need to be strong, you need to have endurance, and you need to know the techniques.
Right.
And I think, you know, we can get into that a whole lot later.
Sure.
Or next.
Pulling.
Right. This podcast has stoked you so much to get on the table and start pulling and going against some competition. You want to know how to win. You want to know what's going to be happening when you walk into a bar, or you step into the arena.
How can you go over the top?
How can you go over the top? Outstanding, right? All right, well, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to have to work out. I think that was one of the things that when we talked to the competitors, that it's something that they do pretty frequently. Not only do they hit the gym, lifting weights, doing bicep curls, doing all the things that you would sort of do for your arms, but they're going above and beyond, and some of them are, you know, working on farms, or it's just kind of their job anyways, and they're naturally strong. But the biggest thing that they said was, you just got to get on the table.
Right. The best way to improve in arm wrestling is to arm wrestle, much with many things in life that you want to improve in.
Right.
Practice. But I really thought that the answer would be doing bicep curls all the time. And it turns out that could not be further from what you need to be doing to prepare. Because beyond developing whole body strength and stamina by weightlifting and doing all sorts of strength training, however you do that. One thing that we learned is strategy is another really important part of preparing to succeed at arm wrestling, hence the need to practice on the table frequently and develop a strategy that works for you. And 2 of the female arm wrestlers are who we primarily talked to and learned a lot about how to prepare for arm wrestling matches, Tiff and
Kayla. Shout out.
They said leverage is most important. So despite your height and weight, you have a different strategy for establishing leverage. But I thought that was really interesting to know that they both hands down agreed that's the key to success.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there's really six ways that you can arm wrestle. And we'll kind of go over that as best as we can through a podcast. We're stepping up to the table. Shannon and I, hands are on the opposite pegs. We're gripping hands. The up judge, the guy who's standing, the up judge, says lock thumbs. So you lock thumbs.
But before we even lock
thumbs. What are we doing?
We're going crazy. Like, it looks like we're hand fighting to get our hand in a certain position. So before you even lock thumbs, the two arm wrestlers are clearly fighting for some kind of position. And it's very subtle, but they're all in before thumbs even get hooked together.
Yeah, it's a little bit strange, and we did ask about that, and it was really just trying to get in, like, your hand ready to go and a little bit of leverage before, you know, whatever comes next. So there's a couple of ways to do this. One is just, like, the regular technique, which you all know, which is you lock arms, you lock thumbs, grab the hands, and you try to just straight up push them on over, just full-on force.
Brute strength, slam that hand down.
Right, and there's something to that. So if you want to go and try that, you can do something called a flash, which actually we saw one of these guys, Austin, do quite well, is that as soon as they said go, like, it was just a really quick motion, slamming hands down. Just try to catch him off guard, get that first step. So that's the flash with brute force.
And when you're watching the flash, you think this person just has really quick reflexes, because the second the ref would have them lock hands, our buddy Austin would appear to have just almost beat his competitor to the punch, and it was all a timing thing. But later we learned it's timing, but it also takes a huge amount of strength, because each competitor is fully locked in at that point. No one's standing at the table limp-armed waiting for the go-ahead.
Exactly. So if you feel your competitor is limp-armed, you can probably go and flash him really quickly, get it done with. But that's not always the case. So sometimes you're standing
there. If you're arm wrestling me, I'll probably be standing there limp-armed waiting for you to shove my hand down. But if you're with anyone with even a bit of experience, you still need a whole lot of strength to pull off the flash. It looks effortless, but it is not.
And if you don't get the flash done and you're just going for brute force, that's called the top roll. It's just kind of what it seems like. You kind of just roll your wrist right on over. And there's the next one, which I found effective against Shannon when we did this lefty, is called a side press. And the side press is, it's all about leverage. So when you lock hands, instead of going left or right to try to slam the other person's hand down, I'm actually pulling towards myself, like I'm doing a bicep curl. So what that does is it shortens her hand from being up to being closer to the table. And I'm taking some of that pressure away from her going left or right. So she's using different muscles, and then I'm going left and right.
And I'm thinking that is the move where people get flipped over the table. We heard some stories of people's entire bodies being flipped over the table, because I'm pretty sure that's where my hip bruise came from, fighting to even keep my feet on the ground. You had the leverage and the strength using that strategy to practically pull me over the table.
Right, and that worked really well. I've actually arm wrestled, like I said, a few more people. And for people who I know I wasn't going to beat, I side pressed them.
We be honest about who you were arm wrestling with?
No.
Okay.
All right, we can talk about that later. If you know us personally, we can talk. We'll have a couple drinks and we can talk about that. The next thing is that if you're in that struggle again where nobody is winning, you're kind of like stuck in that middle position, the next thing to do is a flop wrist. And it's what it sounds like.
When I saw the flop wrist, though, I thought that meant the competitor was breaking the person's wrist. I thought it meant that you were on your way to losing. But it turns out that it's a way of... The way you bend your wrist does look like your wrist is breaking, but you're locked so firmly in place that your competitor cannot...
You can't pin you.
Do anything.
Yeah, it changes the force of where you're going to go. So it really is just like it sounds like. It's a flop wrist. You're stuck with your competitor somewhere in the middle or somewhere else, and you just drop your wrist back towards your forearm, and you almost have like a flat palm up. And what that does is it changes where the force is going from the person, your opponent. And so they're trying to move you forward, but all that's really happening is it's just sort of taking the pressure and shooting it down through your forearm, and it's not going anywhere. It's really hard to pin from that position. So one of the strategies of one of the people there, his name was George, I think, was just a flop wrist, and have this person try to move them as soon as they got tired. He unflop wristed and slammed it down.
Would you need a huge amount of strength to unflop wrist, as you call it?
Right. Yeah.
Because you're pretty locked in there.
Yep. There is the high hook, which it's just another technique that you have. I have here, it's sort of like a leverage kind of thing. You kind of come up and over the top. Although sounds like a top roll. There, I'm telling you, it's out there. It's a real thing. So there's the high hook and then the chop. And I don't know if the chop is in the opposite direction, which makes sense to me. So instead of pulling your arm to me, I'm pushing your arm back towards my opponent. And then now I have an increased range, right?
Like
I'm
just, that would make sense. Right. Yes. So I really think I could have stayed at the local talking about arm wrestling for the entire day, but we didn't have a whole lot of time. What I take away from all of the different strategies is you develop your strategy based on your strength. So I feel like going over the top might actually be sort of a bicep heavy move. I think
The flop wrist.
The flop wrist is if you have really strong forearms. Your strategy,
I'm just pulling you in.
Right, but you really definitely need finger strength and a good grip, right. I think.
Okay, yeah, I can understand that.
It's just interesting.
Yeah. But and speaking of training, like there's competitions going on in Vermont. Like this wasn't just like, hey, let's have an arm wrestling tournament. Obviously, the World Arm Wrestling League has been around for a while, but Bill Sinks, who is the world champion, who actually put Shannon and I on the table and explained the rules at the very beginning, he actually does something at the Addison County Fair in Vermont, and he has teams from all over. And what they were telling stories that people in the farm section of the Addison Fair, after they're done moving the cows and doing their tractor pulls and all that other fun stuff, showing their animals, they would just wander into Bill Sink's arm wrestling championship and go on the table for a while.
This brings me to probably what I appreciated most about this whole experience, actually, which is the level of community in this sport. I was in awe of that when we were talking to Kayla about getting into this and whatnot, what she likes so much about it. Her main thing that she liked, or her main interest in the sport, that the reason she's continued in it is because of the people. She said the Vermont arm wrestling community is like a family to her. And literally, her husband is an arm wrestler. They met through arm wrestling, and they were not the only arm wrestling couple there. So I really liked that community is a big part of it, and how welcoming everyone there was to us.
Absolutely.
And willing to learn. They even kept saying, we're trying to get more females into arm wrestling.
And I thought they were talking to me, and I was like,
I couldn't imagine that they would actually be talking to me, but I think that they were actually serious. I think they would take me under their wing.
Yeah, that was one of the things.
Crush me, but.
Yeah, that was one of the things I saw too. Very family friendly when we got in there. And, you know, as you said, you mentioned Kayla and John being married and meeting and getting married through that. I think she even told us that she has a table in her front dining room area, just a table just to practice on. So they, you know, people come over and they practice. Just be like, why is that happening? Well, it's because it's what they do. And I think that's kind of my final thought to get people to go and check this stuff out. It's on ESPN now. They have the championships to Vegas. The women actually win $2,000, which I reported the first time through. But the guys take in $20,000. So it's out there. You go check it out. We had a great time.
That's quite a pay gap.
Yes.
But we need to get more women into arm wrestling.
More women.
That'll, you know, grow the pop.
Right. So I think I'm going to leave it on a final note. It's like, I was very impressed that, you know, these people are working at this. You know, it's not just I'm going to show up and arm wrestle. These people are dedicated. It shows that they're dedicated. They're very knowledgeable, and it's a thing, and it's a real thing, and it was fun as hell to watch. I'm going to, you know, we talked about going back and finding another one soon.
Or going to Vegas.
Going to Vegas, baby.
Championships.
So that was my takeaway. If you see one of these coming up, go check it out. It was really fun. It's amazing. We got to drink some beers and have some chicken wings and stuff like that too. So that helped out. But what do you think? What are your final thoughts on?
Go check it out. You will not be disappointed. Netflix will still be there when you get back.
Yeah. Grab a friend and do it.
Or go on your own and make a friend.
Right.
Hey, thanks for listening to Shannon and Craig's. So, how was your weekend? We want to hear from you. Get in touch with us, send us your feedback, and most importantly, send us some suggestions for what we should do this weekend. I'm going to give you some contact information. Here's the big thing you need to know. The word weekend, we're spelling WKND. Because we're trying to be hip. So email howwasyourweekend@gmail.com. And you can hit us up on that Twitter @howwasyourweekend. Looking forward to hearing from you. Thanks.